Morning. Good to see everyone out this morning at New Harmony Baptist Church. Excited about another Sunday, another nice fall day out there. It's rainy and not a better place to be anyway than the house of God. So glad you're with us. Looking forward to getting back to somewhat of normalcy, and we start back Sunday school this morning. And it's hard, I know, to get back in the groove. I got up this morning, I thought, man, I only got an hour to be there. So it's a little different getting back used to it, but thank God we're able to. Excuse me. About to sneeze. Ask you to remember all those that are hurting from different things this morning. Remember Jeremiah, he'll be having knee surgeries at tomorrow. Remember that. Pray for him and comfort, and pray the doctors as they do the procedure and it turns out the way it needs to. We ask you to remember all those suffering from cancer. We got many in our around us. We just have kind of lost focus of that through all the virus stuff, and ask you to continue to remember it and pray that God takes this thing away from us and that we praise him for it. And I ask you to remember our elections that's coming up in our nation in about 3 weeks. As all elections are, this one is very, very important. Probably holds as much about our faith and our what we are able to do and worship freely as any election that's ever been in our country. So I ask you to remember it and pray as hard as you can that God turns the people's hearts to his word. Not anybody's ideas, but to his word. That's my prayer. And so remember that. Do we have any prayer requests? Anyone, anybody wants to mention? Remember that. Remember that. Any others? Oh, man, remember that.
And one Henry had surgery.
Remember that also. Remember a family that's the brother-in-law that works with me. They went in yesterday and found their son had committed suicide. So actually be with them. They actually live in Harrison County, but be much in prayer for that family. They are lost their mother back around January, so it's been a tough time on them. But I ask you to lift them up. I don't. God knows the names and all about them. But this is coming the time of year where it's hard for people. It's depression begins setting in with, especially when it come upon Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's hard if you've lost loved ones, and it gets on you at this time. I know that God is able to comfort, but I think He expects us. I know He expects us to be his voice and to be his arms and legs here, and that we can reach out to them and let them know there is hope. There is hope past what they see today. And it's hard for people to see when they're in that shape. We talk about it all day long because we're not there all the time. Sometimes we are. But I ask you to lift them up and pray for them. If you know anybody that's elderly that may be alone, call them or text them or go and see them. I know it's hard right now to go see people, but you can text them and see if they'd like to have a visitor, or visit them and be with them. And also to keep in mind, coming up quickly, and we'll announce this in a little bit. We met the other night with our last Sunday night with our leadership team, and we are going to do our Thanksgiving meals that we've been doing as men's ministry. We had talked about canceling because of the virus stuff, but we determined after talking to Melissa that works with us every week, that people's probably in more of a need now than they've ever been. So the need is still there. Where if you know anybody, I'm telling you this early, to give us their name. And what we plan on doing is if the people is able to walk to their porch, we will leave it on their porch or leave it in a bench or whatever they want to leave it so they don't have to contact us if they're fearful. So we'll be doing it. We'll be putting a list out for stuff to be made and people to volunteer to cook stuff. So a lot of exciting things coming up in this season. Do we have any other prayer requests? No other? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day again. Thank you for your many blessings. We ask you to touch these families that are hurting, touch these people who are sick. We ask you to heal their bodies. And we ask you for your perfect will. We know it's right. We ask you to take this pandemic off of the earth, off of land, and that God, that I know it'll happen when we turn to you. I know it's here for a reason. And I pray that we see the need to turn from our sins and humble ourselves and pray to you. God, I pray for our election that's coming up in our nation. I pray that we're able to continue being a free nation, being a nation that is able to worship you freely in spirit and in truth. And God, I pray for you to turn the hearts of the people to vote, thus saith your word, not any party affiliation, don't matter, whatever your word says, they vote according to that, and we know it'll be right. God, we ask you to be with our church. Lift us up, give us a desire to reach out to this community, to this land. And Lord, we ask you to give us a desire to see lost souls come to the knowledge of you. And we know your spirit will draw, and we pray that when it does, that they will answer. Father, we ask you, be with us this morning to touch our lips and everything we preach. Be to honor and glorify the name of Jesus. For in his name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and worship with us this morning.
Stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that he would take my the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross.
I'll pray for Michaela and Eric. Appreciate their desire to do that and opportunity to be back and being able to do it. And I appreciate the families having the trust, let them go back there, and just excited to be back. The title of this sermon this morning is one that scares us to death. Would Someone Testify is the name of the title. And I mentioned this a little bit down in our Sunday school class that, and most of you know because I say it all the time, and I'm bad about telling stories over and over because when I start telling one, my family will roll their eyes. I've heard it 100 times. But speaking is, public speaking especially, and speaking to strangers is the number one fear of Americans. There's a study out of a university, I don't know what it was, don't matter, but it said that of all the people they interviewed, I think it may have been 100, that 25% had a fear of public speaking or speaking to strangers. Secondly was fear of heights. I fall into that one and almost every other fear, which fear of speaking is mine also, but speaking was way above the fear of heights. Fear of heights was like 7-point-something%. The fear of snakes was 7-something%. Fear of spiders, insects was the same. The fear of close spaces was right there close. But the number one fear by far is public speaking. And of all people of phobias, they're saying that 100% of all people interviewed had some type of social phobia, whether it be public speaking, whether it be public interaction, whether it be too big a crowds, too small a crowds, and or whatever it may be, all of us have a phobia of the public, of people we don't know. It's because, and I think it's driven by the fear of rejection. No one wants to be rejected. We don't want to be told no. And we, especially in our Christian beliefs, we have been taught by our outside sources lately that we should keep quiet, that we should keep it to ourselves, that we are, don't need to push it down anyone's throat or any of that. But if you do that, you are not keeping the Word of God as you're supposed to. And the word that we are going to preach about this morning is testify or testified. The word testified means evidence given. Evidence given. When you testify of something, you give an account that you saw or you heard or you done something. You give an account of that thing. It's evidence given to something has changed or something has taken place. And this morning, this scripture teaches us that we are to testify of this one man, Jesus Christ. Every single one of us. You know, it don't matter if you're a preacher, a teacher, whatever you are to tell others about Jesus Christ. It is how God has set up the gospel to get out to a lost and a dying world. It's through, number one, His Word. But He called men and women to speak His Word and teaching and different things. I know that men are given the call to preach, and we are to do it to the best of our ability. But all people are given a call to speak the gospel to people. Through all out the land, we are to tell everybody, it says Matthew 28, about this man named Jesus Christ. And not only about Him, but about what He done for you. You see, you don't know what He done for me. I don't know what He done for you. Only you know your story, and your job is to tell your story. 1 Timothy. Y'all don't think we're going to ever get out of this book, are we? 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 5 through 7. I want you to listen to this closely. Boy, this is the true gospel in one message, in one verse, two, three verses here. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and veridity. That word veridity means truth. Father, we thank You today for this word. God, I pray that You open our hearts and minds today, and that God, that You will give us the boldness to stand and speak for You when the time comes. Lord, I know that You promise us that we won't have to think about what to say, that the Spirit will give it to us at that point. But God, I pray for a boldness today for Your people, for myself included, that we may stand when stranger in front of us and have no shyness about telling them about Jesus. Lord, may You give us strength today, for it's in Your name we ask it. Amen. A testifying, number one, is the key
to ministry. It is the key to ministry. It is how Jesus' ministry got started. We know that he was taught about this morning in Sunday school. He was born on this earth of a virgin. He lived a perfect life, and then at 33 years old, is about the time they believe, or 30 or somewhere around there, he began to start his ministry. And his ministry didn't last very long before they sought out to destroy him, thinking they could keep his message down if he was gone. But brother, what they didn't know was they were just starting something, wasn't they? They were starting something that would go on forever because it was ordained of God. And it was said that there would be one mediator between God and man, and it would be this man, Christ Jesus. But God saw fit that this message would get out through men and people just as me and you, and it was the way that the whole world would learn about this way of salvation would be from the word of mouth. And to do this, you must speak. Now think about this. God created our bodies. Everybody believe in that? I believe God created us. I had to have a talk with him about why he stopped on my legs. But he made up for it on my face. I better go on. But he created us in a perfect way. He knew exactly what he was doing. And listen to this. Some of y'all here been to medical school are going to say he don't know what he's talking about. But I'm just going to tell you what I read. For us to be able to speak, not even counting our brain, we use 100 muscles. 100 muscles at least, they say. So Stephanie and Amber are bodybuilders. They got some strong muscles. But we use at least 100 muscles when we speak. And speaking and testifying of Jesus Christ is the key to ministry. John chapter 1, verse 36 through 46 is a lot of reading, but it must be read this morning. I want you to listen to this. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And two disciples heard him speak. Heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So stop right there just a minute. The first ones who was ever to follow Jesus was because John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." John spoke. Now what if John would have saw Jesus and would have kept quiet? These men would have never have followed him. But when John saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world." And brother, that right there is exactly the testimony you should have today. When a lost and a dying world needs to know who that is you trust in, you should say, "Behold the Lamb of God." Well, takes away the sins of the world. And the two disciples, and Jesus turned and saw them following. They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is say being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, which was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and what did he do? He saith unto him, there he is speaking again, "We have found the Messiah," which being interpreted is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, and what did he do? He saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Joseph of Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." All through that passage, there was speaking. And you say, well, duh, it's how we interact. It's through language that God gives us. You're exactly right. And it's the reason that God gives us languages, that God made us able to speak, is so that we could bring the glory to him. Your speech is not even for yourself. It's for the glory of God. And these men here, the way that Jesus got to be followed and the way his ministry got started was because they was not shy about telling others about who they had found. You know why they wanted to tell him? Because he made a difference in their life. And they saw something different about this man, and they wanted to tell everybody. If I found something great today, if I find the greatest restaurant, you know what I do? I call somebody and I say, "Hey, you wouldn't believe this restaurant I found." If I find a good fishing pole, I'll call somebody and say, "Hey, you wouldn't believe this fishing pole that I found at Bass Pro Shops. You just wouldn't believe." And if I found a good lure that worked, I'll go tell somebody. Unless they're in my fishing spot, then I won't tell them. But you'll tell them, you say, hey, do this. And listen, a Kyle and them at the turkey call place, how they get to sell turkey calls, people tell people about how that thing worked. It's done by word of mouth. It's the best advertisement you can have. And the whole key to ministry is our testimony. You want to know today why we struggle for churches to have people in them? How many people this week did you invite to church? Myself included, boy, I'm a hypocrite, ain't you? How many people did we tell about Jesus? And then we asked to come to his house today. And you say, well, there's no need to ask them. They ain't going to come anyway. Brother, you don't know. What if these men had a thought? There's no use for me to tell my brother. He ain't going to come to Jesus. There's no use for me to tell that person. They're not going to come to Jesus. But brother, you don't know until you try. And I believe it will work because it worked in this day. And God changes not. He uses the speech, the testimony. The earthly ministry of Jesus was started simply through speaking or testifying. John knew what he saw and called him the Lamb of God. Takes away the sins of the world. Two of John's followers heard him speak and followed and told others. And it's still going today. That is the way the thing is set up and the way it will continue. What you're thinking is right now, as I'm preaching this, you're going over your life and your personality, and you're saying, I don't care what he says, I cannot do that. I cannot tell some stranger about Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Why not? Why can't you? If you care about people, and we are called to love as Christians, we're called to reach out to a world that is dying and going to hell, and if you can't do that, then you got to ask yourself a question. What's wrong? What's wrong? You have no problem about voicing our opinion of Alabama's the best team or this team's the best team or whatever your team is best. You have no problem voicing that. We'll even buy shirts with it on it. We'll buy hats with it on it. We'll put a tag on our car with it. So what in the world is the reason that you have a problem telling others about Jesus? You're saying, I just can't do that. Mark chapter 13, verse 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak you. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. You know what this is saying? When the time comes and you are to speak up for God, don't worry about what to be said. You'll open your mouth, brother, and it'll just come out. You have no idea where it comes from, although we do know it comes from the Holy Ghost, but your mind can't figure it out. How you was able to say those things, and it comes from the Spirit of God, and you're able to testify of the grace of God. You're able to testify about what God's done to you. Now listen, He don't expect you to be standing up here, every single one of you preaching a sermon, but what he does expect you to do is tell about what God has done for you. What has he done for you? If he has saved you by his marvelous grace, brother, you ought to have no problems telling the world about what a great Savior he is. You'll have the words to say. Don't trust me, trust him. Trust him, he will do that. Secondly, testifying will lead the lost to Jesus. How do I know this? John chapter 4, verse 39 through 42. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which what? Testified. He told me all that I ever did. And so when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now listen to this, this is very important. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. And know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This woman at the well, she was there to draw water. You remember the story, how Jesus said we must go through Samaria. He knew he was going to encounter this woman, which did not have a good reputation. At this point, she had had 5 husbands, he says. But he encountered her. Not only did he ask her of water, he started a conversation with her. The Samaritan woman who should have nothing to do with a Jew who has had nothing to do with a Samaritan, here he encountered this woman. Why did he do this? Because he cared about her soul. And he told her, he never condemned her, but he told her all she ever did. He told her that what she was doing was not right. He let her know in a way that he loved her. He let her know in a way that he wasn't going to condemn her, but she needed to change her life. And as she left, she went into the city there at Samaria. And what did she do? She told others. And what was the result? Others came unto him because of her saying. They came. But listen, they was not persuaded that he was Jesus because of her saying. They only came because of her saying. You know, see, when you invite people or you tell them about Jesus, you are not going to save their soul, but you may lead them to a place where their soul can be saved. A place where they'll hear the Word of God. A place where they'll hear the Word of God preached or taught or sung. You'll get them to a place of where they can hear this. Reckon what would have happened if she had kept quiet. What if she would have left that well and went to the city and never told a soul what happened? All these people in Samaria would never known the Lord. Boy, but she was excited. You see, she understood of what God had done for her, what Jesus had done for her, and the forgiveness he offered. And brother, she forgot her water pot, and she ran to town to tell others about him. Listen, the moment that you figure out how bad your sin was and how much Jesus had delivered you from, then you will leave your water pot. You will leave the reason you came. You will leave what's important to you. You will leave it and go to him. And he'll become your everything. I heard a guy talking on the radio the other day. Said as he was growing up, he fought with drugs. He had been in church, and he had said he'd received the Lord as Savior. In his teenage years, he got away. He started partying. He started getting into the drug scene, and he got in a bad way. And he wound up in a rehab center. And he told the counselor there at the rehab center, he said, when I was such and such year old, I received Jesus. He told him, he said, no, you didn't. He said, yeah, I did. No, you didn't. He said, because the Bible says when you receive Jesus, he becomes Lord of your life. And the drugs was Lord of your life. The partying was Lord of your life. The Lord of your life, by the way, means what's in charge of your life. He had trusted something besides Christ. He had trusted something for comfort besides Jesus. And brother, I think that's a problem with a lot of us today, is that we may say we received him, but he is the Lord of our lives. Amen. Does he control my life? Is he about your every decision? And if he is, you have no problem of telling others. The reason we have problem of telling others is we don't really believe it ourselves. I've said for years, Christian people don't believe what we say we believe. If we believe what we say we believed, we would tell everybody we encounter about a man named Jesus. Hey, this man Jesus, he saved me from this. He saved me from that. But you know the reason a lot of us don't? We don't believe our testimony is important. Because I have never been addicted to illegal drugs. I have never been addicted to prescription drugs. I have never had an affair on my wife. I've never had an affair on my husband. I've never stole. I've never cheated. I've never done all this stuff and all these bad things. By the way, we've all broke every single one of them laws, by the way. But we may think we haven't. But we get so caught up in the testimony of these people who have been way out yonder, we think. And we think, oh, so-and-so's addicted to drugs for 20 years. Jesus saved him. What miraculous work he done. Let me tell you something, brother. If you are simply born of a woman, the Bible says you are a sinner and you stand in need of salvation through Jesus Christ. And if you have been saved today, you've been given for sin just like the worst drug dealer, just like the worst murderer, just like the worst child molester. You have been forgiven and your testimony is important. Why? Because most people hadn't done those things either. The big, huge number of the population of our nation has never been addicted to illegal drugs. A big number have never killed anybody. A big number have never done all the things you're thinking about physically. But every single one of this number are sinners and stand in need of a Savior. And so what they need to hear is it's not because you are good. It's not because you're a preacher. It's not because you're a teacher. You was raised in Sunday school. You should be telling them, listen, I was a sinner on my way to hell. I may have never done the bad things the world says is bad, but I had missed the mark with God. I was separated from God and a man named Jesus. He called me unto himself. I received him, and I'm forever with God because of this man. You can tell that. If you know him today, if you've received him as your Savior, you have a testimony. Never let people tell you yours is not important. Now, understand that some people have one that's powerful to the world and they need to use it. That's great. And that's good. But don't get caught up thinking yours is not worth telling. It is. Me and Stephanie was married and I got saved at 21. We got in church, and the church we was in was Concord. And ever so often, that thing would just break out in a testimony service. And they would tell about the things that God had done for them. And the Spirit of God would get so real in that place that you would just cry. Or you'd just, some people would shout. Some people would go to the altar. Some people do different things. And you know why? Because it was telling about what God had done for them. And we did have one in that congregation that had committed murder. And he told about how God had forgiven him. But most of the people in that congregation had never been the bad thing we think of the world. But every single one of them had been a sinner. And at that point in time, they wasn't afraid to tell people about what Jesus has done. But for some reason, the last 20 years, we've gotten so frightful, even in the house of God, to stand and tell what God has done, that I don't know what's going to happen, because the Bible says the rock, if we keep quiet, the rocks will show forth the praise. The rocks, the stones will cry out. We'll get there in a minute. Why do we have such a problem telling this? It will lead the lost to Jesus. I think the reason is we have lost a desire to have them, to see them be saved. We've lost a desire. We have no desire. We want to care about our four no more. As long as my mind's in church, I'm okay. As long as we got this, the bills is paid, and everything is good and comfortable, then I think I'm just going to ride this thing on out. Listen, church, God used these men to tell others about him, and he still desires you to tell about him. If the church is going to continue as it has, people must tell others about Jesus. I know we have Facebook. You can put it on there. I know we have text messages. You can text it on there. I'm talking about one-on-one. Getting with a coworker, getting with a fellow student, getting with a fellow family member, and just simply tell them what Jesus has done for you. I wish we all would try it one time. And listen, I know this too. And I'm standing here preaching this, and this is the hardest thing for me to do. I could preach to 10,000 people easier than I can have a one-on-one with a person. It is hard. It's hard for me. I struggle. I struggle with the boldness to tell them. You know why I think about it, and why is it? I don't know. I think I'm afraid of them saying no and thinking I'm weird. Well, guess what? Everybody knows we're weird. Everybody is weird in their own way. We're all weird. It's not weird. It's the way that God set up. Never think because of your past, you should keep quiet. You see, the past, a lot of people speak out because of the past, but there's a large group that won't say anything because so-and-so knows what I was. So-and-so knows what I did. They know the things I did when I was here. They knew the things that was taught to me when I was there. Probably none of us has been the place this woman was in this day. She had had five husbands, and in that day, that was terrible. She was the lowest of the low. She was no good for anything to this lost world. She didn't mean anything, but listen, bless God, she meant something to Jesus. He come by Samaria to meet her. And after that, she had a testimony, and her past didn't matter. Did you realize it's when she told people of Samaria about Jesus, they came to see for themselves, and none of them said, but hey, this old woman that was out there in the world, surely she don't know what she's talking about. They still came. Her past did not matter. Don't let your past keep you from testifying for Jesus. Thirdly, testifying strengthens other believers. We need to hear of your testimonies. We need to hear of what God's done for you. It builds us up. 3 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. I greatly rejoiced when they came and testified of the truth. Listen, there's nothing else that will build you up better than to know that everybody, other people, is on your side. That other people has been done the same thing that's happened to you. That they have trusted God. Some of them for 50 years have been trusting God. And you get to a point of where you want to quit, you want to give up. And you hear old brother so-and-so that's 70 or 80 years old talk about how God brought him through life. And you get a new fire, you get a new desire, and you're ready to go. We all need to hear of your stories. We get down discouraged. And you may never know what your testimony may mean to someone hurting today. There may be someone that's hurting, going through the same pain that God has brought you from, that needs to hear about what he did for you. Will you tell them? There may be somebody that is considering killing themselves this very day in this congregation. You say, wait a minute, preacher, that won't happen here. Oh, I want it. It happens everywhere else. People struggle emotionally, and they get down and out, and some people may be waiting to hear your story, and you may be the difference in their life. You don't know what it may mean. Your story is truly the only one you know. You see, I think I know my wife's story. I think I know my daughter's. I think I know Randall Moore's. I've heard him tell it 100 times. I think I know these. The honest truth of it is, I don't know it. I don't know it. I know mine, and God, and you and God's the only one that knows your story. But your story is important, and it needs to be told. Don't compare it to any others. If you've been saved, yours is as powerful as anybody's. You have a testimony. You have evidence. Your testimony is praise unto God. It's praise unto God. Luke chapter 19, verse 37 through 40. When he was come nigh to the sin of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. We are not to hold our peace. We're to tell a lost world. We're to tell our brothers and sisters in Christ and everybody of the goodness that God has done for us. It ought to be good for us to tell our story. And listen, if you got a story to tell, brother, you ain't going to bother me to pop up and tell it. I was raised that way in a church. You see, we are so afraid to speak. But it's amazing what happens. The moment the door of the church opens, you can't shut us up. We'll talk about how terrible Alabama's defense was. We'll talk about how this quarterback couldn't throw the ball at all, and how this one couldn't do that, and all this. And we'll talk about the upcoming elections, and we'll tell about everything. We'll talk about all this stuff. But boy, when we close them doors, our mouths come shut, and we don't say a word. Your story is important. Tell people. Your story is so important that God sent his son to die for you and to give you a story. To give you a story that never ends, that goes on forever. You see, in closing, this gift of speaking was given to you. Of communication, it was given for a reason, to glorify God, to tell the lost about God, and to uplift others. I believe that's why you was given a voice. Yes, there's some that's given a voice that can sing beautifully. There's some of us that couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. But we all have a voice to tell others about Jesus. To speak. If you will open your mouth, I promise you the words will be there. I know it's hard. But the church as a whole is not going to survive if people don't start opening their mouth for Jesus. What are you afraid of? It says, don't fear those that can kill just the body. Fear the one who can kill the body and the spirit. All man can do, the worst thing in the world they can do is kill you.
They can't take away what Jesus has gave you, not one bit. All they can do is kill this body. That's the worst thing they can do. But they're probably not going to do that in our country right now. They may laugh at you. They may turn around and walk away from you. They may shut a door in your face. They may not want to speak to you no more, but they probably are not going to even hit you. What's keeping you from speaking of Jesus? As Pat comes, as we stand, do you have a story? Do you have a testimony? Do you have evidence to give for Jesus Christ? If you was on a court and you was to testify for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what could you say today? What could you say and know that He's done for you if you were sworn in? Will you be willing to tell one person? You ain't got to tell me. I don't want to know it. Would you be willing to tell one person about Jesus? I'll tell you where to start before you do that. Would you be willing to tell one person your story? You say, well, I don't got a great testimony. I was saved at a young age. I never committed all this stuff. You was a sinner lost without God. And now you're forever a child of the King. I don't know of a better story. Yours is important. Because think about this, most people are like you. Most people have not done the bad things to be in prison for. But there's all sinners. They need to hear that there is a Savior that'll love them, forgive them, and redeem them back to God. Just tell one. As Pat's playing this morning, there may be someone in here that don't have a story. You don't have a story because you have not received Jesus as your Savior. There's not been a time in your life when you felt the Spirit of God draw you and you responded. If that has never happened in your life, then guess what? You do not have a story. You don't have anything to tell. The good news is, I believe He's still in the saving business. And I believe He's still drawing. If not, He would have done come and got us. If He's drawing you today, do not put Him off. The Bible says, find Him while He's near. You can have a story. You say, well, mine will never be as Billy Graham's or Charles Stanley's or none of these. I'll never be the great evangelist or any of this. Everybody may never know your name. If you make a difference to one, you've done what God has called you to do. If you'll tell one, the second one will become easier. The third even easier, and so on and so forth. And you will make a difference. If you'll invite people to church, that's exactly what that woman at the well did. She invited them to come see a man who could make a difference. She didn't save them. She brought them there and they said, we don't believe, not because of your saying, but because we have heard Him and seen Him for ourselves. Jesus saved, but she told them about Him so they could get close to Him. Well, you invite people to church. Just invite one. You say, well, they won't come. You don't know till you try. You may be here this morning and you are hurting. You may be in depression. You may be in something else. I challenge you to trust God and to call out to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do not let the darkness get so powerful that it causes you to harm yourself. You say, well, I'm above that. No, you're not. Other people thought they was.